So I'm today with Tyler Levitin from Jewish Independent Voices. I'm talking with him today because there is this proposal in the government to criminalize the rhetoric against the state of Israel. And so Tyler is here to talk because Jewish Independent Voices is part of the BDS movement. That we recall it's a boycott, divestment, and sanction against the state of Israel. Hi, Tyler.
Hi, how are you?
Really great. So, the conservative government is currently trying to modify the penal code to criminalize the criticism of the state of Israel that they consider as for them underlying anti-Semitism. How do you react to this affirmation?
Well, the criminal code was changed back in December of last year. There was a minor amendment to the criminal code that added national origins to the list of groups that could be targeted under hate crime legislation. And that addition of adding national origins to a list that included sexual orientation, race, religion, etc., mimics exactly what took place in France a number of years ago through the Lelouch law, where the penal code in France had the same alteration done to it, and that subsequently led to the conviction of over 20 Palestinian human rights activists who support the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement on the grounds of inciting racial hatred. So this was disconcerting to many individuals in Canada, including Independent Jewish Voices, members of Independent Jewish Voices, and other Palestinian human rights organizations. Because this happened to coincide as well in Canada with our government's repeated assaults on freedom of expression related to criticizing Israel. So the change in the criminal code has already been made, and our suspicion was that it was made at least in part because of an intention from the government to have this this serve as a means in which criticism of Israel could be criminalized. In other words, people could be arrested and charged with hate crimes simply for criticizing a foreign state's policies. And our suspicions were actually validated to a large degree very recently when Neil MacDonald of the CBC, he got hold of this story around the government's attacks on freedom of speech around this issue and Bill C-13. In which changes to the criminal code were made. And one of the questions he had for the Ministry of Public Safety, whose minister, Stephen Blaney, said just a few months ago that the government was going to take a zero-tolerance approach to criticism of Israel, including the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement, and rhetoric and efforts to delegitimize Israel, as they refer to it. So one of the questions he had for the ministry was, what does that mean? What is zero tolerance? And the response from the spokesperson for the ministry was actually just alluding to, referencing sections of the criminal code that deal with hate crimes. Yeah. And then basically saying after that the government was not going to tolerate this kind of hate crimes in our society. So based on that, Neil MacDonald exposed this, and now the government is backtracking and claiming that Neil MacDonald's whole story is a conspiracy theory, even though MacDonald and the CBC ended up publishing the correspondence that MacDonald had with this spokesperson from the Ministry of Public Safety's office. So my response to all of this is that the government is lying once again, is once again not actually being accountable for its own behavior. It's refusing to explain its behavior on this front. And I think it's obvious to many of us that the government has been trying to scare Palestinian human rights activists as a way of pandering to their base of supporters in Canada, which include conservative elements of the Jewish community who are very supportive of Harper and, of course, are uncritical of Israel entirely. And Christian Zionists, which are a larger community in Canada than the conservative elements of the Jewish community.
Yeah, but finally, that announcement that deals with like a sort of confusion between politics, nationality, and religion. How do you plan to avoid it? To avoid the charges if in your actions?
We're not going to change our behavior in any way. The fact that government is saying that what we're doing is akin to a hate crime doesn't actually give the government the power to charge us with hate crimes. In fact, it's not even their jurisdiction. It would have to be at the provincial level, where provincial attorney general would have to determine, after police investigations were already underway into hate crimes, that this is a case that they would want to move forward with and push for a prosecution. But in speaking to many legal experts in Canada, it's become clear to Independent Jewish Voices and to many others that the government doesn't really have any strong foundation upon which it could ever kind of see boycott, divestment, sanctions activists imprisoned over this issue. It's very weak grounds to argue that criticizing the policies of a state is the same thing as vilifying and inciting hatred against people who happen to live in that state. Mm-hmm. It's an absolutely absurd idea that holds no ground in any kind of logic or reasonable thought, which is why the proponents of this idea that it's anti-Semitic refuse to actually engage in public discourse on the issue. They refuse to debate. They refuse to discuss. The government is not actually backing up its spokesperson's response to McDonald's question around zero tolerance, but they're actually just denying that the story exists. They're just being absolutely ridiculous and claiming that nothing happened, even though the whole correspondence between McDonald and their spokesperson is made available on the CBC website. So they don't want to discuss this because they know that their arguments are weak and ultimately completely baseless. So we're not really that concerned in terms of facing some sort of legal punishment around this. We're going to continue to do what we do, and we're going to continue to expose the government as being completely anti-democratic and trying to frighten human rights activists as a way of gaining further support and donations from their conservative base. That is not the proper behavior of a democratic government. That's the behavior of a fascist, completely out of touch government with the needs and the values and rights of Canadians.
Yeah, can you explain a little bit more what would be for you the reasons, the truly reason for the government to use that sort of tactic? Because obviously, for the moment, the BDS movement is not involved in politics in Canada and has not really support from the major parties in Canada.
I think the fear is that there's a chance that the BDS movement would grow to the point where it could influence the policies of major elements of Canadian society. There's already been a few large labor unions that have endorsed the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement. So those are labor organizations actually that represent millions of Canadians have already fully endorsed this. There's been student unions from across the country, at least a dozen, that have endorsed boycott and sanctions movement and have called on their universities to divest from companies that are complicit in violation of Palestinians' human rights. There's been now very successful campaign that Canadians have been very active in, and there's been active involvement from people around the world to put pressure on SodaStream, which is manufactured in an illegal Israeli settlement on the West Bank. And through public pressure, it has successfully forced them to close the factory. So, what we're seeing is that there's definitely a growing movement throughout the world there are some successes in Canada, but many, many more successes throughout Europe and South America and other parts of the world in which boycott, divestment, sanctions is really putting lots of pressure on Israel and is really educating a lot of people about Israel's system of apartheid in which it governs over Palestinians. So there's an enormous fear from Israel lobby organizations who happen to be very influential in Canada, very well-funded, well-resourced organizations that have very close ties to the conservative government that are putting enormous lobbying pressure on the government to do whatever the government can to try and stifle this kind of activity and prevent it as much as possible from growing.
Yeah, As a sort of like conclusion question, how do you see the future of the BDS campaign in Canada? Actually, what are the solution, the expectation, and can you explain in how a BDS campaign is far away from all the anti-Semitic movements that we see all over Europe? Can you explain that for the people that would not know what is a BDS campaign?
Well, the BDS campaign has been called for by over 170 Palestinian civil society organizations. So there's three demands to the campaign, and they're all very, very much rooted in international law. The first is for Israel to end the illegal occupation of territories which it captured in the June 1967 war. Under the Geneva Conventions, its settlements are all illegal, and it has to abandon its occupation. The other demand is to grant full equality for Palestinian citizens of Israel who face institutionalized and societal discrimination at an enormous level, which is getting significantly worse. There's over 30 laws which discriminate against non-Jews in Israel, who make up over 20% of the population. The third demand is for Palestinian refugees to be granted their right of return. For there to be a resolution to the refugee issue based on United Nations Resolution 194, which Canada signed on to and has the unanimous support of the international community. So there's nothing violent or anti-Semitic at all about any of the demands, and of course, simply engaging in nonviolent activities such as boycotts, which have worked throughout history at putting political and economic pressure on actors to change their behavior, that's not anti-Semitic in the least. So the claims of anti-Semitism are completely baseless. And I just want to also clarify that anti-Zionism is not anti-Semitism, that they're completely separate things. Zionism is a political movement which is essentially establishing a Jewish state in what was a land that was inhabited for hundreds and hundreds of years, predominantly by non-Jews who are native to the land, and as a result of the Zionist movement, it has led to the dispossession of the Palestinian people, the native inhabitants of the land, and a denial of their rights. So when people are against that movement, they're not against Jews, they're against that political project, which many Jews support, but many also do not support, like myself.
Yeah.
There's nothing anti-Semitic about that.
Of course.
So I think that there's a lot of kind of cheap shots being thrown at the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement, and conflating the movement with actual anti-Semitism, which is violence against Jews or hatred against Jews simply because they are Jewish. And that's something that exists in the world and is very troublesome, and that, of course, I condemn, and everyone in Independent Jewish Voices condemns and sees as absolutely disgusting. But boycotting a state because their behavior is considered illegal under international law is not at all at all the same as violence against Jewish people or hating Jewish people because they're Jewish. Those are completely separate ideas.
Okay, so I really thank you for your intervention with me today, Tyler, and for all this great talk. So
well, thank you very much for having me on your show. It's my pleasure.